Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
All right. So I just wanted to start with this. I'm reminded of the story of, there's lots of stories in the New Testament where Jesus said, it's your faith that made you well, okay? So my challenge to you today is, what are you going to pull out of me, okay? Because you being present, like, gives the opportunity to put your faith on what the man of God's going to say. And so the Lord's anointed me today to speak to you so you can get what you need today by putting a demand on by faith and receiving what I have to say. So I challenge you guys to do that. Praise the Lord. I just want to bless this, the word. Father, we thank you that that you're here with us. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I just thank you for a now word for us. A word for each and every person listening, Lord, that it would change their life, Lord. I pray that it would mark them forever. And Lord, I just thank you for the utterance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would help me speak what you want me to say. And it wouldn't just be me talking, Lord, but I pray that your anointing and your power would just work today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So how many of you guys are reading the book of Joshua? That's what we're reading this month. Do we announce that the next month, actually, which is upon us, we're going to be reading just the next two books, actually, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So we're going to be reading Judges and Ruth. So I was kind of not preaching at mom last night, but I was starting to talk about the book of Joshua and just kind of sharing about it. And man, this is such a good book. I was reading in it, and there was something the Lord's been dealing with me. And I read the verse. I put my Bible down. I got up and I left and did what I was supposed to do. Because that's what the word is about, right? It's about doing what it says and not just listening, okay? So I was like, you know what? What's more important now, finishing this chapter or being obedient? So I'm just going to go and do what I need to do right now. So that was a now word for me. So the book of Joshua is all about courage. And Bernhardt and I... We had an opportunity to share a German video blog on 16th Street in Denver, and we got to share, guess what the topic we were talking about was? Courage and doing. And that was good for me because, you know, the Lord, what he does, and I'm excited about it, is he changes our personality. And my theory is that everyone is not a perfect personality. Everybody's got something wrong with them. So everybody's got some kind of twitch. And what the Holy Spirit does is he fixes that twitch. And those twitches, and he over time, right? That's why it's so important, you know, to pray in the Spirit. I'm convinced, fully convinced, that he molds us and changes us. Like, you know, one of my testimonies is when I was in high school, I was so shy, just so shy. I didn't want to be shy. I wanted to talk to people. Even at church, I was like, I wish I could just talk to more people. And I couldn't. I just couldn't. But through the years, the Lord's helped me, you know, by praying in the Spirit and by doing, the Lord has helped me speak in front of people. And so that's still the Lord's working on me. You know, speaking to a camera on the street somewhere is, you know, it's not easy to start. And so we're talking about, you know, in another language. So we're talking about courage and doing in front of people that are passing us, you know, making faces, I'm sure. So that's what faith is. It's really about, you have to have courage to take action on faith. And I'll talk about that a little bit. So Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So how many of you know that it takes courage to do what God tells you to do? It takes courage to take action on your dreams, even things you want to do. Like I could just start counting off a whole list of things in my life that I haven't done, but I want to do, but there's something, you don't know how to do it, you don't think you know how to do it, or there's the fear of putting yourself out there, or whatever. But it takes courage to pursue your dreams. It takes courage to obey the Lord. And it's not easy, but we have to have courage. So that was one thing in the book of Joshua. Another thing that I kind of got out of it is just reading that God has already paid for our inheritance. It's like God has already paid for our inheritance. We have to do something to get it, though. And so they had to go do something. They had to go take the land. And so God's paid for your inheritance. You have to do something. God's paid for your inheritance. You have to do something about it. So that's really good. You know, I was telling you guys earlier that Jesus has paid for everything that we could ever need, but we have to do something about it. That is so important. Okay. Let's see what else in Joshua. There was a couple other things. Yeah, it's really a powerful book. So I encourage you guys to read it. All right. So now to my message. So I have a few things I'd like to share. We're actually up at the fluorescent fossil beds, and I was kind of just meditating, you know, walking with the kids, and it's kind of crazy what happens when you get outside and just take a walk. I just encourage you guys to do that, because in the words of Mark Twain, sometimes you need to take your brain out and dance on it, because it's got caked a little bit, caked up. So you need to get out of your thinking zone, and it makes you happy. Weird thing. So get outside, take a walk, do something different, and then the Lord will speak to you. It's kind of cool how that happens. So I was just kind of thinking, and I was using my handy-dandy iPhone to take some notes, and I wrote five things. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, five things that the devil wants to stop. Okay, and now there's many more things. I was talking to Dad. I was like, hey, five things the devil wants to stop. And he said, Dad's like, he doesn't want you to give. He doesn't want you to, Dad listed a few things. And I was like, oh, I wasn't going to share those. But that's totally true. You know, the devil doesn't want you to give. The devil doesn't want you to praise and worship. And that's a huge one. I'm not going to talk about that one today. But he just wants you to shut your mouth. He doesn't want you to do anything. So the five things I just want to talk to you about. The first one is hope. The second one is imagination. The third one is dreams. The fourth one is prayer, and the fifth one is doing. Okay, so these are five things that the devil doesn't want you to do. You know what? As believers, we believe the devil is a real person. He's a real spiritual person. He's a person. He doesn't like you. You know, the Bible teaches us that he was a fallen angel. He was one of the lead worshipers in heaven. And he decided to turn against God. And he's like, hey, I want to exalt my throne higher than God. So he's a real person. And so there are, you know, there's things he really doesn't want you to do. So let's go to Hebrews 6. Thank you, Lord, today. So we're talking about hope here. You know, the word hope has been popularized by, you know, the current president, you know, hope and change. And I think in the English language, hope is just kind of very nebulous, you know. It's kind of like, it's kind of lackluster. There's no power to that word. But when you start thinking about these words like faith or love, or there's power to it, you know. So let's look at Hebrews 6:19. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So it says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. So hope, it anchors our emotions, because our soul is made up of our intellect and our emotions. And so you have to have hope, you know. You know, I think of a verse that says in Psalm, it says, though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast to sea, you know, I will not be moved because I'm trusting in the Lord. So if you have your hope in anything other than the Lord, then, your whole world could fall apart. Your hope should not be in your husband or your wife. Your hope should not be in your job. Your hope should not be in the United States government. You know, I was at the bank the other day, and I was like, I saw the little, you know, your loan, you know, your bank account is guaranteed to $250,000, you know, by the full faith and credit of the United States government. I was like, praise God, that's not much at all, you know. Thank you, because our government doesn't have any money, you know. So is your hope in the government, the FDIC? If the economy goes south, are they going to afford, you know, are they going to pay you your money back? Sure, they'll pay it back, but it might be worth, you know, hamburger, you know? So as believers, we have to have our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure that that's where you have your hope today. So let's go to Romans 4. Romans 4:18. And this is a great verse about hope. Abraham is talking about who, contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations. So that's like faith, you know. You're like, there's no hope left, but you still hope. You continue to hope. So, hope against, contrary to hope, in hope believed. So now let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5, I'll just read a little bit here. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So there's a progression. Like, I know I don't like tribulations, but what does tribulations produce? They produce perseverance, and they produce character. Like, you know, character doesn't, you know, I want character and I want it now. Like, you know, you have to, it's kind of like faithfulness, you know, it's proved through years, decades and decades. Like, that's what character is made by. And character, hope. So hope is, character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. So hope is a powerful thing. I love what a dad said. I think he said something about, for some reason, we need time. God uses time to form in us who the Lord wants us to be. Like, that's just kind of how it works. So I want character. I want to have good character, because then God can trust us. Okay. And maybe this is the most important here. Let's go to 1 John. Start at the end of the Bible here. I'm so used to Googling my verses, man. I just like, where are all these books? Okay. Have you ever had the thought, maybe, like, what happened if, like, Google started putting wrong verses there? That's why you need hard copy. Right? Okay. 1 John. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. It says, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So this is, I think this is kind of like the main hope, like the foundational hope, is we have, the hope is that Jesus is coming soon. And you know, if you have that hope in your life, you're not gonna sin. Like, if you're thinking, Jesus could come back right now, like, you're not going to sin. That hope purifies you. So if you're dealing with something fleshy or whatever, start thinking, like, Jesus is coming soon. Like, and that purifies you. And that's so good. So, you know, it's such a shame when someone doesn't have hope for the future. So the devil, he wants to stop hope. He doesn't want you to have hope for the future. I hope none of you have been there, but have you ever been in a place where you just don't believe it's going to get any better? Like, despair. Like, the devil wants you to be despaired. He wants you to be in despair. He wants you to be in despair and dread. He wants you to dread Monday morning, and he wants you to despair about your future. But hope doesn't disappoint us. So let's hope in the return of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So the second point I wanted to make is imagination. The devil doesn't want us to imagine things. And I think as Christians too, like, quite often, like, sin is, you know, if you imagine about certain things, you're quick into sin. You know what I'm saying? So the devil wants to shut your imagination up. He wants you to stop imagining because you can imagine bad things, right? But let's go to Genesis real quick. So I think the devil wants, he wants us to associate imagination with sin. But who gave us imagination to start with? The Lord gave us imagination. So, you know, I was thinking that verse that God said to Cain, he said, sin is at the door, rule over sin. You should have dominion over sin. Don't let it rule over you. So as sons of God and daughters of God, we have to rule over sin and not let it have dominion over us. So Genesis 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You know, the other day I took a motorcycle ride with my parents up to visit some friends up at Nessus Park. And man, I had the best time riding up there. And it just, the Lord was opening my imagination and just thinking. And I was meditating on the universe, really. And it was just so cool. Like, get out of your thinking zone, right? And just thinking about the universe and just how extravagant God is. You know, just seeing all the, you know, the woods and the mountains and just, wow, this is so amazing. And just thinking, like, God put so much design into this. And the thought I had was, I believe God put just as much design into every star and every planet in the universe as he did to this planet. Now, I believe that God has made this planet unique, and he has chosen this planet for humanity, and this universe even, for us, just to show extravagance. You start thinking about that, you're like, man, think about how big God is, and we struggle with just a little stuff that we want, you know, or need. God is just so extravagant. So, do you think it took some imagination to create this universe? I think so. Like, I think God could have just said, you just flick it out, it's created, whatever. But I think he thought about it. I think he planned it. I think God is a planner. I think he's imaginative. So we were created in his image. And that's the cool thing, is that we are creators. That's what God created us to be. We will never be gods because we're unto him. We're the creation. The creation can never be greater than the creator. But he has made us to be in his family. And we're, dare I say, you know, in the psalm it says that he's made us a little lower than himself. So we're in his family. And what an awesome thing that is. So we're supposed to imagine. We're supposed to be co-creators with God. I heard one priest actually said, he said that God created the universe, but we are to continue that creation and fellowship with him. He keeps telling us, what are we supposed to create? Like, we see and we're continuing the creation, but what we do every day. All right, let's go to Genesis 11. Now, this is an example of, the Tower of Babel. At that time, there was only one language in the whole earth. And one culture, which is powerful. And then the Lord said, indeed, in verse 6, chapter 11, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. I think in another translation, it says plan, it says, like, even imagine, you know? I'm not sure what that translation is, but it's so powerful that God has given us the ability to create things. And obviously they were doing it to exalt themselves in a very humanistic way, a secular humanism way. They said, we're just going to make a name for ourselves. So we have to do things, we have to imagine with the Holy Spirit as he directs us to imagine. Like, sometimes I get ideas, you know, I'm sure you guys get coffee ideas, caffeine ideas. And they just bam, 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 you get all these ideas. You're like, oh, this is great. Well, you have to seek the Lord and see what he wants, what idea you should pursue. So we have to do this with the Lord. And then let's go to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, 10 verse 5, it says, casting, no, it says, verse 4, Actually, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we have to be, we have to guard our imagination, but we can't be afraid to imagine. The devil doesn't want you to imagine. He doesn't want you to dream. So I want you, I just encourage you guys to just ask the Lord, like, help me imagine what you want me to imagine. Like, help me dream what you want me to dream. Okay, so the next point I wanted to make is dreams. The devil doesn't want you to dream. And imagination and dreams, they're pretty similar. Let's go to Proverbs real quick. I want to use this proverb specifically for this, for dreams. Proverbs 29:18. Okay, so it says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. So some translations say vision in verse 18. In the notes it says prophetic vision. So I want to use this verse for dreams, and dreams in the sense of vision. Like, God wants to give us a vision for our life. You know, God wants us to dream big. Well, you guys don't really think that, do you? Do you think that God wants us to dream big? It's true. Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, I've been studying some secular people, and guess what? They operate in faith, and they dream big, and they go do it. Like, I think some non-believers are just people who are maybe saved, but they don't really, you know, they're not consistent in church. They dream bigger and larger, and they do things. They operate in faith like few people ever do. I mean, because the principles are all the same. You see it, you imagine it, and the clearer you see it, the clearer you can see how to act on it. And then the vision starts to produce the ability to do it. There's an article actually back on the table. I left a Voice of Victory magazine, and I read it, and it was the brother who translates in Spanish for Kenneth Copeland. And he said, you know, he would just weep and weep because he was from Puerto Rico, I think it was. And he came to the U.S. for English and for theology, and he just was just weeping because he couldn't understand the language. He's weeping and weeping every night. He's like, for 4 hours, he said he'd just cry after classes because he didn't understand anything. But then he started to learn that he had an opportunity to translate, and he rejected it initially. He's like, oh, God, forgive me. I have to take that. And he discovered that when he did stuff, he actually stepped in. There was an anointing to do it. And the weeping didn't accomplish anything. He said, you have to go do something about it. And so I'm starting to learn that when you go, when you step out, and you start to do something, even when you have no idea how it's going to work, that's really faith. That's what faith is doing it when you don't know how it's going to work, and then the Lord will start to work things. Praise the Lord. So the Lord wants us to dream. He wants us to have a vision. I think it's such a shame when people, you ask him, like, you know, it just kind of comes out of the heart that they have nothing to look forward in life. They have no dream. They have no vision. They're just... you know, well, I mean, if you have a dream, like, are you any better than, you know, animals? Like, not really. You're not. God put you here. God put you on this earth to do something. God put you on this planet for you to accomplish something. And I want to be able to say, this is what I was born to do. Like, wouldn't you guys love to say that? You see successful people, and like, they were born to do that. Well, I want to be found doing what I was born to do. And the cool thing, let me show you something. What's stopping you? Every day, like, what's stopping you? I hate it when people say, you know, at workplace, how's it going? I say, you live in the dream. Like, no, you're not. Like, quit lying to me. This, you don't like this job, don't lie to me. But the fact of the matter is, you could do one thing every day towards your dream. So that way, you are living your dream, even if it's not your job, okay? So don't say that. I don't like that. Now, you could say, I'm living for the dream of Jesus. Yep. That's what you could say. Yep. I'm living for the dream of Jesus today. That's a good response. You know what? That's a great response. I asked the Lord, like, what should I say to people to say it? Because I hate it. Living the dream. I'm living for the dream of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So if you don't have a dream, Jesus has a dream. And his dream is souls from every nation. There's no better dream. There's no bigger dream. So I encourage you to get plugged into that dream. I got to go quick. I have a couple more points here. Prayer. And this is one I've struggled with. You know what? If you don't see your prayer answered in your time frame, you get discouraged and you don't want to pray anymore. Okay? Now, the devil doesn't want you to pray. I think we can all agree on that. Because, you know, Jesus said some pretty wild and crazy things like, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. You know, whatsoever. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy good.
So that's where you have to have faith to just say, okay, I don't feel it, I don't see it, but I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to ask. So, let's see here. Mark 11 says in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's some pretty crazy stuff, pretty cool stuff. So let's go to Luke 18 real quick. It says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So what ought we do?
Pray.
We ought to always pray. Always ought to pray and not lose heart. So we're supposed to pray. And so saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? So Jesus is saying we have to continually pray. Now there is the prayer of faith, you know, where we pray once and we just believe and receive. But sometimes we have to just continually pray. So Jesus said, don't stop praying. So the devil, he wants you to stop praying. He doesn't want you praying. Don't give him that pleasure. All
right?
Don't give him that pleasure. Oh, okay, this is where that fits in. So, the book of Joshua. Let's go there real quick. I want to find it. Let's go back to the book of Joshua, okay? This is so exciting. You guys got to see this. Okay. The book of Joshua. Joshua judges Ruth. Okay. Yeah, Izzy can sing the whole song. I've heard him sing the Bible song. You might have to teach me that sometime. Okay, let me see where this is real quick. You guys have to see this here. I think it's like chapter. So I'll find it here. Okay, I think I found it. Okay, yeah, okay. So go to chapter 14. So this is about Caleb. So Israel's been given the land and Joshua's been dividing it to them. And so it says here verse 8 says, nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, and they went to scout the land with a bunch of other guys. And they came back and the other men were like, this is just terrible. We should go home. We should, you know, run for the hills. There's giants in the land. Oh, sure, the land's great, but we're cowards. We're not going to do this. But Caleb and Joshua said, let's go up right away because we can do it. We are more than able to take the land, right? So he said that he said, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly followed. And that means saying and speaking the word when it doesn't look like it, when it doesn't feel like you can do it. When you speak the word, that's what we do with the reach. We're like, hey, I don't know if we can do this, but we're going to try. We're going to go. Right? And it worked, and the Lord blessed it. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, 85 years old. As yet I am strong, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me
Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for both for going out and for coming in. Did you guys see that news article about those, what do they call them, octogarians? Octogenarians, okay. There was like four or five of them, and they broke Olympic records. Oh, it wasn't Olympic, but they did like a 4x400, and just amazing. These guys in their 80s, and they're running. They're running, breaking records. Okay? Praise the Lord. So, and then it says, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So I want to point out this verse here. It's so cool. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in this day. So Caleb, he had built his faith up. He wasn't saying, hey, I want to have this little tiny nice house or this little tiny thing with the easy, you know, wimpy Canaanites. I'm going to ask for this little tiny thing. You know, the valley. He said, I want the hard thing. I want the thing that's too hard. He said, I want the hard and the impossible. Yeah. That's what Caleb said. I want the giant's mountain. That's what I want. So, in prayer, we should be saying, I want the hard thing. I want the impossible thing. Let's ask for the hard and for the impossible. That's so cool. So ask the Holy Spirit, what should I be imagining? What should I be asking for? And don't ask for something that you can do yourself, because then you don't need supernatural help. So ask for the hard and the impossible. All right, so the last point I wanted to make is doing. The devil doesn't want you to do anything. Yep. You know, the devil, I'll just say this. Some things are timing, okay? The Lord works through timing, and there's also supernatural problems as well. The devil doesn't want certain things. So for whatever reason, whether timing or satanic attacks or just, I don't know, but the Lord is beginning to pull us out, blossoming us in evangelism. And I think we can all agree, regardless of seasoning, timing, whatever, that the devil doesn't want us on the streets talking to people about Jesus. I think we can just agree on that. Okay, but he can't stop us now, okay? He can't stop us. Praise the Lord. So, the devil doesn't want you to do anything. You know, his perfect will for your life is for you to go to hell. So, how many of us are not going to be going to hell? I'm not going there, right? So, we're just going to keep getting further and further away from his perfect will and closer to the perfect will of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, let's look a couple more verses here in James. James 1, verse 21 says, actually, verse 22, let's go there. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So it's so important that as we are sitting in church, that we listen with an intent to obey. Yeah. We have to listen with an intent to do what we hear. Every day when we're reading our Bible, we need to say, hey, you know what? I would rather do one verse that I read than to read the whole, you know, whatever, the whole book or whatever, and not be obedient. So we have to do what we see in the Word of God. You know, why would God give you more light about something if you're not doing what you know to do right now, right? And the more you do what you know to do, he'll give you more light. You know, the word says that the Lord's word is a lamp to, you know, light to our path. It doesn't say it's like, you know, huge, like floodlight, you know, necessarily. Sometimes we just see the next step. Okay? So James 2, let's go there, verse 14. It says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So, actually, I'll just keep reading. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. So I know there's the constant balance between grace and works. But the bottom line is, if you really believe you're going to do something, that's just the fact. If you really believe, if you really have faith, you're going to take action. So, and it takes courage to take action. And when that faith rises up in you, you're just, it's going to be easy, and you'll just do it. Amen. So the devil doesn't want you to hope. He doesn't want you to imagine. He doesn't want you to dream. He doesn't want you to pray, and he doesn't want you to do. Because Christians change the world. You know, the love of Jesus is the only thing that can change the human heart. It's the only thing. So we need to get out there and be about what the Lord has put in our hearts to do and what he has commanded us to do as well. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like to give another opportunity here. I'm just going to share a few verses with you. Romans 3 says that all have sinned. And Romans 6 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10 says all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, and I believe he rose again. I ask you into my heart and into my life. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, eternal life starts at the very moment you receive Jesus. We have to wait till heaven. We got eternal life now. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.